And we're all in this together. These are troubled times. We're not just saying that, you know, just to say it. I mean, you know, watch TV. Look at C-SPAN. Look at what people are saying. We're entering into a period where there's increasing regulation of what we say and what we do. And, you know, things are not as easy as they were a few years ago. Without getting into partisan politics, we have a Republican-dominated Congress for the first time in decades. We have a Republican governor, a Republican mayor. It all kind of adds up into too much power in one side. And, you know, we have a president, which I don't really consider to be democratic in many ways. And I can only wonder what's going to happen in a couple of years when the election comes up. It's possible everybody will be Republican by then. When that happens, or maybe before that happens, you may see some real turning of the tide. You may see some more religious right power. You may see some more religious right radio. You know, it's not really a big deal to me to see all these religious radio stations. It bothers me, though, when they put them in non-commercial areas of the radio band, for instance, below 92. That's an area reserved just for non-commercial stations. Now, a non-commercial station can be anywhere in the dial, just like we are. We're at 99.5, and it's a tremendous stroke of good luck that we are. But when you stick a religious station in a non-commercial area, it takes away from a station that could be there, say, from a college or from just a community group of people that want to put out radio. We don't see enough good radio stations out there. I'll give a couple of examples just to show that we're not trying to hog the market here. Stations like WFMU out in a college that no longer exists. Upsala College went out of business, but the radio station's still there. I think that's kind of neat. WPKN in Bridgeport, same thing. The college was bought by the Moonies. The Moonies came in and they took over the college, but the radio station, because of listener support, was able to remain independent of all that, and now they're a community-based station. WUSB, Stony Brook, New York, out on the island. They're another college/community station. Recently got the approval to double their transmitter strength, so they'll be reaching more people. The only way they were able to do that was through listener support. So, yeah, there are a lot of good stations out there. By a lot, I mean a handful, because in most parts of the country, there isn't even one. WBAI is an incredible resource that does not exist in other parts of the country. That's why it's up to you to keep it here, to keep it strong, because people like Newt Gingrich are not going to lift a finger to help us. In fact, they're going to lift many fingers to hurt us and to cut off funding, our federal funding, to make sure that various other bad things happen to us. I think the strength is there, though, to keep us going. And you can support us however you want. If you want to just call up and make a donation, that's fine. If you want to call and get the MOD book and the subscription to the magazine for $100, that's fine. If you want to call, get a subscription to the magazine and a T-shirt for $75, that's great. There's all kinds of things you can do. If you want to come down and volunteer to answer some phones, that's incredible, too. We need all the help we can get. 212-279-3400. We've gotten this far. Not just today, not just this pledge drive, not just this year, since the early 1960s, when this radio station was donated to us. That's right, this radio station was probably the biggest donation we've ever had. And it's all come about because people wanted an alternative. So please, be a part of the process. 212-279-3400, 212-279-3400. Again, $100, you get the MLD book, Masters of Deception, which just came out this year, and the subscription to the Hacker Quarterly 2600 magazine. And for $75, you get that same subscription and a soon-to-be-discontinued 2600 T-shirt for a $75 pledge. 212-279-3400. Now, we have an interesting article that came out in yesterday's Daily News. You see this? Revenge of the Nerds. Front page story. Can't believe this. Top high school kids and computer hacking scandal. And you know where it was coming from?
Stuyvesant High School.
Stuyvesant High School. That's where all the troublemakers come from. Yeah. Stuyvesant High School. A lot of people come to our meetings from Stuyvesant High School, you know? A lot of people on our magazine are from Stuyvesant High School. It's something to think about. Now, I had no idea about this. I just read about this yesterday in the Daily News, and I would not have picked up the Daily News if someone hadn't called me and told me to do that. Students at Manhattan's prestigious Stuyvesant High School used the school's computers to break into the confidential records of three prominent colleges. Then, the unidentified hackers cracked the security code of a private company working with the school to protect computers against such breaches. Now, Red-faced officials of one of the city's most heralded public schools, whose students routinely win Westinghouse Science Prizes and other national honors, have launched an investigation into the hijacking on the information superhighway. I love this language. Okay. An executive at the private security firm Ingress Communications in Manhattan said the students committed a federal offense. You know, they had to call this guy at a private security firm just to get him to say these people committed a federal offense. That's how the media works, you know. We can't say it ourselves. We can't say it's a federal offense. We have to get some guy with a, you know, important-sounding name to do that. Stuyvesant principal Jinx Perullo.
That's some name.
Name is actually Jinx.
Wow.
I respect
J-I-N-X.
Someone.
J-I-N-X.
I respect someone with the name of Jinx. Stuyvesant principal Jinx Perullo, no doubt will be the subject of much ribbing tomorrow night, or tomorrow day when they bring tapes of this radio program in, where we're making fun of the fact that the principal's name is Jinx. Okay. Well, kids have to take it. Why can't principals, you know? Imagine a kid going to Stuyvesant High School to name Jinx. Actually, there probably are a few. But anyway, Jinx told the news yesterday that the students apparently pulled off the internet heists for cyberspace kicks. Yes. That's a tough sentence to read. In the 7 break-ins that occurred last week, she said, Jinx is a female name. I didn't know
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They did not change any of the records at Columbia, Princeton, or Bucknell. Princeton is in New Jersey. Bucknell is in Pennsylvania. They did it for the sheer thrill. That's what the principal said. They did it for the sheer thrill. Now, the vice principal, Eugene Blaufarb. How do you say that one? Blaufarb. Now, imagine if they got married. You had
Jinx Blaufarb.
Jinx Blaufarb. Oh, boy. I wish I went to Stuyvesant. Anyway. Okay. These are actually cool people, though. I mean, we're just making fun of their names, but what they're saying is, listen to what they say. These kids are not like gangsters or crooks, said Vice Principal Eugene Blaufarb. These are like the kids in the movie War Games. They are brilliant. Now, Fiber, correct me if I'm wrong, but the things that you did were pretty much almost exactly like this, yet I don't recall a large number of people in the media saying that you were brilliant, that you did it for the sheer thrill, that you were like the kids in War Games.
Well, incidentally, when I had gotten access to the UAPC computer that that houses, among other things, high school grades and so on and so forth, that's when I was a freshman in high school. I wasn't exactly heralded as being brilliant and how it was all a big challenge. I was actually held in the dean's office the entire day, not allowed to eat lunch, had my parents notified, and was subsequently suspended from school for a week.
Well, that's quite different.
Yeah, it was a bit different then.
Now, maybe if you got to Stuyvesant, they would have treated
you
with a little
more respect. It
would have been a whole different thing. Okay, we have some more people to thank, but we're going to get back to the story in just a moment. We want to thank Bob from Waterbury, Connecticut. Home of WTXX Channel 20. I know these things. Well, that's far away. That's far away. I'm very happy to know that we're getting all the way out there. Hello to Connecticut. And then we also want to thank Jonathan from Bound Brook, New Jersey. Okay, thanks for your donation. Eric from Stamford, Connecticut. Eric from Stamford, Connecticut, thank you for your pledge. And this person does not want to be thanked. I don't know why they gave me their name, but thank you anyway. Hey, I thank you, even though you don't want to be thanked. So there, the last word there. Okay, so getting back to this story. Ingress's Vice President of Technology, Richard Chung, said the Stuyvesant students have the means of accessing accounts at those colleges. They had user accounts and passwords. When asked if he thought the students might have wanted to get access to student transcripts, he said, "A college would have to be crazy to keep a transcript on computer." Well, now, these people have enlightened attitudes, you know? They realize that, yeah, you know, this kind of thing would be stupid if they did it. And if someone is able to get access to it, well, you know, why'd you have it there in the first place? It's kind of a temptation, don't you think? He didn't say all that, but I'm reading into what he said. Chung said that only the colleges would know if the students had changed or retrieved information. Columbia spokesman Fred Newbell said, "There were no consequences for our computer system. One student ID was compromised, and the university has turned it off." Stuyvesant students were not surprised by their classmates' wizardry. They boasted openly that they can pay their classmates to produce fake credit cards, change their grades, and forge bus passes and school identification cards. If you know the right people, it's $100 to change a grade, $5 to get a fake bus pass from the laser printer upstairs. A lot of people pay to get their grades changed. That's what happens when you throw 3,000 of the world's smartest students into one building, chimed in another student. I don't know about this changing grades business.
Yeah, they sound like a bunch of arrogant brats.
Now, that's, like that. Yeah, because for me, that's stepping over the line when you're actually selling services. You know, it's gotten past the point of figuring things out and challenging the system and bypassing security. When you're running a business and selling things that are obviously fraudulent, it's you lose a lot of the charm there. So, you know, people doing that, you gotta be kinda careful and think about what you're really doing. If you can make fake ID, I have no trouble with fake ID, but if you're making a business out of it, then you're benefiting from doing things that are fraudulent. You know, you're making a profit out of it, and that's where the real fun aspect of it goes away. Anyway, one student displayed his fake bus pass and fake identification card and offered to make a fake visitor's pass for a reporter who was denied access to the school. Yeah, that's the kind of neat stuff we like to see. The fraudulent documents were virtually indistinguishable from the real ones. Other students spoke of one classmate who keeps a menu of fake credit cards in his school computer account. He hangs out in the computer room and he brags about it, said one student. Perullo said she had no knowledge of widespread computer fraud at her school, but she vowed to launch a probe. She said school officials probably could trace the origin of the most recent internet attacks on the colleges, but those computer addresses likely would not reveal the hackers' identities because the students were undoubtedly smart enough to cover their tracks. We were told students are sophisticated enough to use the terminal address of another terminal, she said. Students are given virtually unlimited access to the computers and can log on to the internet using the school's account without teacher supervision. Perullo said the school will hire additional computer consultants to create a tracking mechanism that can identify students on the system, but students remain confident that their peers could crack any code. Undoubtedly they will, but what do you think? Do you think they should have more restrictions?
I don't know necessarily that they should have more restrictions. I think they should have a lot more awareness that it's not cool to make fake credit cards.
No, because that leads to stealing money, stealing products, tangible theft, as opposed to wandering around in cyberspace and seeing how big the buildings are and things like that. You know, it's different.
Yeah.
People argue with me all the time about this, and they try to equate it as the same way, but they just don't get it. It's not the same thing. You know, logging into a computer system and exploring is not the same thing as using a credit card and stealing, clothing and records and whatever else you might buy with a credit card. It's not the same thing. Stuyvesant High School, by the way, was also where they filmed a large part of the film Hackers, which is coming out in August, which I think is kind of interesting. It says a little sidebar here. When Hollywood honchos sought out locations for the upcoming flick Hackers, they headed where else? To Stuyvesant High School. And the latest case of life imitating art, the movie was filmed partly on location at the prestigious Lower Manhattan High School, where the overall grade point average is A-. But some jaded students were less impressed. Everybody hated the movie, said sophomore Tal Levine. It was corny and stupid. But what do you expect from spoiled brats at a high school where average grade is A-? Okay, we have an editorial. Here's an editorial from today's Daily News. Either they had time to think about this, so now they're coming out with their editorials about it. It's called Computer Delinquents. Now, you know that that's got to be bad. Okay, here we go. If a bunch of punks broke into a college administration building just to see if they could do it, they'd be treated as the criminals they are. Let the same bunch break into a computer system, though, and it's a different story. The prime defense explanation is usually, but these kids are so smart. As if that excused criminal activity. Somewhere along the way, IQ has become more prized than ethical behavior. The latest hacker caper has emanated from the brains at Stuyvesant High School, where students reportedly cracked a security code and did a little cyberspace snooping in the files of Columbia, Princeton, and Bucknell. With them, the hackers, it's not a crime, it's a challenge, said a vice principal. Since these pubescent Einsteins obviously have the intellect to understand the word crime, the problem must be attitudinal. If you're smart, you're above the law. Well, it's up to law enforcement and Stuyvesant to provide a lesson to the contrary. Principal Jinx Perullo gave indications yesterday that this would be done, noting that whatever the intent, this sort of behavior is unacceptable. She said the school would launch a probe into computer abuse, tighten security, and start teaching ethics in technology courses. But the best teaching is by example. And that means stern punishment for violators. For too long, hacking has been treated as a slightly risky form of recreation, the egghead's alternative to bungee jumping. The hackers have even come to expect admiration, not condemnation, much less penalties. Now, at Stuyvesant, is the perfect time for authorities to let the culprits know the rules have changed. I don't know. What do you think of that?
I think while we're at it, we ought to string up those little commie pinkos by their thumbs.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear you talk some sense here. This kind of thing's been going on way too long.
Better put a stop to this menace.
These guys went in and they looked at things. And, you know, we can't have that. We have people walking around gazing at computers. Got to teach them lessons. Got to teach them fear. Got to teach them respect. If that doesn't work, we'll just have to instill some more fear somewhere else. Well, it's 11:17. We're listening to music from The Clash here. And you're listening to Off the Hook, the radio program of the 90s for cyberspace and telephones and computers and hackers and things like that. And you know, we're at $1,705 for the show. We're on for only another half hour. And we'd sure like to break 2,000 in that time. The only way we can do that, though, is with your help. 212-279-3400 is our telephone number. If you like what you've been hearing, if you like what you've heard over the past weeks, months, years, who knows? Give us a call. 212-279-3400. It's getting to that point where we kind of have to think of wrapping it up, you know? Well, we got a half hour, so I guess there's still plenty of time to talk about various things. Like this, for instance. The Oregon ATM thief who was robbed himself. First, he helped rip off $346,770 in one of the largest automated teller scams in the nation's history. Then, when he tried to return some of the loot, he was robbed. Not all went awry. The robber who robbed the robber was caught, and the $60,000 was recovered. To say it sounds like a coincidence would be an understatement, said police spokesman C.W. Jensen. Well, I want to have me a great deal of money. Yeah, after talking to the suspect, the detective felt confident that what happened was exactly what was said. Yeah, quick and to the point. David Gallagher and four accomplices used a stolen bank card to rob 48 ATM machines on November 18th. They were able to make 724 withdrawals on phony ATM deposits because a computer software problem removed the usual $200 daily limit on withdrawals. Gallagher, who was on weekend release from jail, was confronted by a gunman Saturday as he headed to meet his lawyer to turn over some of the cash to the Secret Service as part of his plea bargain. The man took off with the money, tossing some of it into the air as he was cornered by patrons from a bar a block away. I guess they wanted a taste. Justin Morris, 20 years old, of Milwaukee, was charged with first-degree robbery, unlawful use of a weapon, possession of a controlled substance, and running on a public street. Well, did they pass a new law or something? Apparently that's not right either. Yeah. All right. We're moving into some weird and wacky times here. 212-279-3400. We need to reach our goal for this show, and we can do that with your help. You can hear additional fun stories like this in the future if you give us a call and pledge your support to keep us going. I guess I can't really say it any better than that. We also have some word on caller ID. Nationwide caller ID, that is. You've heard about it, right? Yeah. All right. Well, they've postponed it. They've postponed it, and they've made it better. And you know how they've done that? Well, first of all, Nationwide Caller ID was supposed to be here now. I've heard reports that it is, but it's not officially supposed to be here yet. Not until December 1st, as I believe one of our callers told us. And that's another thing. You know, we get a lot of our information from our callers either by writing in to us or by calling us and telling us various things. It's really kind of neat, you know, this whole source of information thing we got going here. The Federal Communication Commission has voted to approve national caller ID rules that will protect the privacy of the called and the calling party by mandating that the carriers make available a free, simple, and consistent per-call blocking and unblocking mechanism. Under the rules adopted, callers dialing *67 before dialing a particular call will, for interstate calls, block calling party information for any interstate calls, and those callers using a blocked line can unblock the line and release that information by dialing *82, which is what 9X introduced last year. The order permits carriers to provide privacy on all calls dialed from a particular line where state policies provide and the customer selects that option. Now, that's significant, because if you recall, the one that was supposed to take place this month, said that they didn't have to do that. In other words, 9X has to provide all call blocking within the state, but they didn't have to do it out of state. They simply had to do *67, and those regulations overrode the regulations of interstate caller ID. So that's actually pretty good, as far as I can see. If you have caller ID blocking on your line, it will be blocked across state borders. So I think that's pretty significant, and probably a result of a lot of consumer outcry. Again, an example of the power that we all have in our little hands. Call it the FCC, and you make your point. You call it the PSC, you make your point. You might just see some changes. Same thing with 9X. Do you see 9X saw some sort of an improvement in the first quarter of this year? Something like a 25% improvement in service orders.
Wow.
Only, I think, 70% of people expressed dissatisfaction with 9X as opposed to 90%. something along those lines. They said it's not quite what we hope to achieve yet, but we're getting there, and we hope by the year 3000 to get there entirely. Well, we'll see about that. All right, 212-279-3400. Shall we do it? Shall we open up some phone lines so people can call us?
Sure, why
not? All right, why not? Because people have been good to us tonight, and we want to express our appreciation. 212-279-3407 is our number to call to be on the air. Yes. But please, if you call and you get a busy signal, consider calling the other line and pledging. Because by pledging, you're making it possible for people to call year-round and be on the air and share information. Pledge whatever you can afford. You don't have to pledge $75. You don't have to pledge $100 to get those special premiums we offered. You can pledge whatever you can afford. It all makes a difference. And we'll give you something in return. That's up to our volunteers that are currently standing by the phones waiting for them to ring. 212-279-3400. Shall we go to the first line?
Let's do it.
Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on.
Oh, yes. Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
I'm down on the radio.
How you doing?
Hello?
Go ahead. You're on.
Yeah? Oh, wow. Okay. Hi. How you doing, Emmanuel?
Pretty good. It's pretty thrilling to be on the air, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Imagine if you didn't have that
thrill.
Yeah,
I just tried to
imagine if
something.
We couldn't both talk at the same time.
Okay.
You know? New York would be lacking something.
Yes. Okay. Concerning ISDN.
I'm glad we agree. Yes.
Yes, I'm aware of a system from ISDN Systems Corporation in Virginia.
ISDN Systems Corporation? Are you sure they deal with ISDN?
A very original name there.
Yeah, really.
Sure.
I'm surprised they got it. Okay, yeah, what about it?
Okay, well, it's an all-in-one type board that fiber optic mentioned. And if I can mention price, I don't know.
Sure, go ahead.
They offer it for $199 in the 9X service area. In certain service areas, they offer it at that price. And it I don't have the sheet in my hand, but it offers the RJ11 service, the high-speed serial port, as he said, certain security features. It's a pretty very comprehensive board. So I just have the information there, and you can check up on it.
Does this sound like the same kind of board you were talking
about? No, well...
You can now hear the phones ringing when people call us, so please give us a call at 212-279-3400, not just to hear the phone ring on the air, but to pledge to us. Because that's very important to us to keep going. That's why we're here tonight. Now, continue.
Yeah, I wasn't actually... The product I was describing wasn't a board. It was actually a standalone unit.
Oh, a standalone unit?
Yeah, which means you could use it on any computer at all with a serial port.
Oh, it goes through the serial port.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, they might offer other products. I just hope you could check up on it, since I don't have an ISDN line.
Okay, why don't you give us the information one more time, the name of the company.
It's ISDN Systems Corporation. I have a...
You have a phone number for them?
I had a phone number, but apparently it was somebody's resident.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
They have a web address.
Okay, why don't you give us that?
Okay. HTTP, I guess you know that.
Yeah.
://
Uh-huh.
www.infoanalytic.com
Okay.
/ ISC / index.html.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm sure people are already clicking on that and downloading it right now, even as we speak.
Okay. If I could ask one thing.
Yes.
Could you make available just a very simple sheet on the ISDN rates? I got something from the phone company, and it totally confused me.
Well, yeah, we're totally confused, too. If we ever get to the point where we're not confused, we'll try and break it down for people so they can understand it. But,
well, next week I could bring in the rate structure, and we can both break it down and
we're
explain.
Only on for an hour next week.
That is true.
All right.
Not enough time, right?
Well, okay, we'll try to do something
like that.
All right, thanks for calling. 212-279-34. I forgot to ask him if he pledged. All right. Well, yeah, let's make it sort of an unwritten rule here. If you get on the air, you're going to call and you're going to pledge after you get on the air because, it's a righteous thing to do, you know?
Righteous.
And we do need all the help we can get. Now, I don't know if the number's been updated because it looks like it's staying the same. We're at 1705, and that's you know, if that's still the same, if we haven't gotten anything in the last 15 minutes, that's upsetting. That's upsetting, and I don't want to be upset. Because it's such a nice night out, and we want to have a lot of people helping us to move forward into the next year. 212-279-3400 again. to repeat what we have available. And this is above and beyond anything else that is already available when you just call and pledge whatever you can afford. If you pledge $75, you will get a subscription to 2600 Magazine, which, as I understand it, is the nation's leading hacker magazine having to do with subjects of computer hacking and phone phreaking and all kinds of other neat things. You want these back, don't you? Okay. One moment while I give the cards back to the Tally people. There you go. Thank you. All right, so you will get a one-year subscription to that journal, which I happen to know quite a lot of people that work for it. And also, you'll get a 2600 official T-shirt. Now, this is a 2600 T-shirt that has the... we all have one, right? We all have one. In fact, Fiber, you even have one of the old ones.
Yeah, I have one of the original ones.
And the fact that you have one of those old ones, those real old ones, earns you a lot of respect, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Undoubtedly.
Old ladies get up on the bus and give you their seat.
Yeah.
You get waved through token turnstiles. Cab drivers drive you wherever you want to go, gratis. And all kinds of neat things. You get the best cuts in restaurants. And it's just amazing because you're wearing something that is no longer available. Now, that is soon to be the case with the 2600 T-shirts of now. You have one of the old ones that is black lettering on white.
Right.
But not very many people know about that. Right now, the ones that you see around, the white lettering on black, they're in their last printing. Their last printing. We are about to change our design and go to a new one. So, we are offering these as part of a $75 pledge, a one-year subscription to the magazine, and a T-shirt. And it's not just a scraggly T-shirt here. It's a good T-shirt. It'll last you for years. It's nice and thick and, worthy of respect.
Definitely.
And for a pledge of $100, you can get a subscription to the magazine as well as a hardcover copy of Masters of Deception, which is the book that Fiber Optic is featured in, as well as many other hackers and crackers, as they describe them, of today. And, you may have differing views on the things that you read, but they are definitely interesting. So please keep those phone calls coming in, 212-279-3400. That's our phone number. It really is. All right, so should we take another phone call?
Sure, let's do
it. All right. Good evening, you're on.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Am I on? Oh.
You're on.
Do you know what Channel 1 is?
Oh, what, do you mean the news channel thing that New York City has, or do you mean the Wider Communications thing that gets piped to school kids?
Right, that's it.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I don't have high opinions of that, because they pipe commercials to school kids who are captive audiences.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those kids, but there's a lot of controversy about that.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
A few months ago.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, this week they're doing a series on computer crime, and on Tuesday they had, it's only about 10 minutes or so, but they had a few minutes on the Masters of Deception.
Did they?
Yeah. I don't know who was on, because I haven't really been following it, but I thought you'd be interested to hear that.
And I guess they showed commercials surrounding that, didn't they?
Well, yeah, they have two sets of commercials, about a minute each.
Mm-hmm. Are you allowed to talk during the commercials?
Oh, we're basically allowed to talk during the whole thing.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. I'd hate to think that people are actually forcing their students to listen to this.
They make us listen. Last year they made us take notes and stuff.
Really?
But,
yeah, are you quizzed on the things that you see there?
We have like a current events test
Every
once in a while or something.
Yeah. You know, you'd be better off watching CNN or something, I think.
Oh, definitely,
I think CNN even has something for school kids. And just recently, this year in fact, BBC offers their news feed to cable systems in this country. So if you have cable TV, I'd strongly suggest you call them and ask them to carry BBC News. I mean, that and CNN together will provide you some really, really good coverage. For instance, this whole thing with the Ebola virus is practically blacked out in this country, but BBC is doing all kinds of coverage of it. And I think it's something that people need to hear and learn from.
Right. My friend's very interested in that. He was on all the different World Health Organization webpage and stuff,
mm-hmm.
checking out all that stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest in it. People want to learn more. And, even the New York Times wasn't covering it. So you have to wonder why. What are they not saying? There's something going on, obviously, and we should be hearing it. This country is widely known for not taking an interest in other cultures, other societies, what people are saying in other parts of the world. This is a way you know, to change that a little bit, to voice your opinion and ask your cable company to carry something different.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it'll make a difference. Maybe your school will carry it too.
Yeah, maybe. Because Channel 1 just merged with ABC, I think.
Uh-huh.
They're allowed to use some of their news feed now for some of their stories.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I also want to ask you a question you were saying about the encryption before.
Mm-hmm.
The government, is that referring to, like, computer programs that would encrypt files? Or how does that work?
I think they were talking about encryption in general. Any encryption that would impede a federal investigation, I think, would be considered illegal.
Oh.
Let me give you an example. At 2600.com, which is our new service that we put up for the magazine.
I like it.
Sorry?
I saw your webpage. I like it.
Well, it's nothing yet. It's nothing yet. It's getting there. It's getting there. It'll be good soon. But thanks anyway. We're getting to the point where all of our writers, our contributors, our various people that have something to do with the magazine throughout the country, throughout the world, in fact, are logging onto this system, and what we have is a special feature that enables you, if you want to do this, and a lot of people do, to protect your files when you log off. It only takes an extra couple of seconds, too, to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Automatically PGPs and stores it in encrypted format. Therefore, if somebody comes in and takes the machine, if the machine is, God forbid, seized or someone gains access to it somehow, your files are encrypted. Nobody can read them. We can't even read them. You know, the system administrators can't even read them. That's the way it should be designed. And that's we're trying to design this, you know, with the hacker mentality in mind, to provide encryption, to provide security, to prepare for the worst-case scenario. And now they're going to turn around and tell us that what we're doing is illegal. It simply boggles the mind, you know. We're trying to make a secure system, and they don't want us to do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's amazing what they're trying to do.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't intend to dumb down the system for the benefit of any federal agencies, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, that Channel 1 is everywhere. I didn't go to school when that thing existed, but...
I didn't either.
Yeah, they donate equipment, I know that, but it's not worth it, I'm sorry, to pipe commercials in to kids. I just don't think it's... you know, education should not have... they want to put advertisements on school buses. Did you hear that one?
No.
Yeah, to supplement the city income. They want to put billboards on school buses. I mean, where is it going to end, you know? So, I mean, already you have Burger King and McDonald's in schools, you know, in colleges, for instance.
Hmm.
As, you know, they provide lunch and dinner and things like that. It's not like real food, it's junk food. You know, and this is corporate mentality is taking over everywhere we look. Everywhere. Do we do the promo yet for McDonald's? No. Okay. That will never happen here. 212-279-3400. Please show your support. Looks like we broke the 2,000 barrier, but we won't have an official word on that until 11:45, when we'll have a total number. 212-279-3400. We still need as many calls as possible. All right. Good evening. You're on the radio, 212-279-3407, if you want to be on the air. Good evening.
I have a few serious questions for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Radio off. Okay. Number one, is the 2600 T-shirt all cotton?
I believe it is. Yes, it is all cotton.
Okay. Number two, a few weeks ago, you featured a scout that it's sort of like an optoelectronics. It scans frequencies, but it also allows you to receive them.
You know what they did? They came out with a new scout in the last week.
Yeah.
At the same exact price as the one I paid for my old scout, so I'm kind of peeved by that.
Yeah, question. Could I ask you this?
Yeah.
Does it have a BNC plug on it? Does the antenna come off and leave you a BNC, or what is it, the antenna built on, or does it...
No, the antenna does have a BNC connector.
Yeah, the smart kind, not the stupid kind that falls out all the time.
All right. I think I have a few spare cellular antennas. I'll solder a... crimp a BNC on, and you'll get it in your mailbox at...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I...
Could always use a few extra antennas.
On a glass mount or a elevated feed, you know, the one you drill a hole. Do you have anything to drill a hole in?
Do I have anything to drill a hole in? Well, I don't know if I'm going to drill a hole in my scout. Is that what you're asking?
Okay, no. No, I'm just trying to decide which one to grab and put the connector on.
Yeah.
Let me see. Question, you know, one of the most nasty types of, uses of telephones is these cellular phone things.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's like a common A and a B band and, the G just the basic 832 service, but a friend of mine says works for a company that designs for Motorola. And what I've been trying to find out is I hear there's another band. It should be easy to find out that only police use. Is it? Do you know if that's within the cellular phone band or I heard it was just above it?
Well, the police use 800 megahertz. They don't use the same frequencies that the cellular phones use, but they use it, I believe it's just below, like it's around the 850 range, I think.
Yeah.
And supposedly that's supposed to be more secure. Well, one way it's more secure is by blocking it out and not allowing people to listen in on that.
But yeah, the question is it within the 832 channels? Because I think there's like 1,023 or more channels. Is it within the usual 832 channels?
As far as you mean the cellular phone frequencies, it's. I don't believe it is within that range. I believe it's outside that range.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
Because the whole idea is that, you know, the police now have some super... Essentially what they are is they're... you know, when you're in your home, you have a right to listen to anything. But when you get in your car and actually go where the police are, you know, committing crimes, then they become, you know, the law thugs.
Right.
You know, they can do whatever they want to you. And I was thinking that there should be, you know, if you can hack anything, I think, you know, the police part of the cellular phone should be the very first thing to be hacked into, you know? Because they're moving in on us and, you know, taking away all our personal freedoms. You know, like New York State had, I disconnected my beeper when they came out with that dollar a month per beeper. Not per line, but per beeper, you know.
Right.
Tax on a receiver.
Right.
You know, for the whole year and a half that they were collecting this super fund in New York State. And New Jersey never had it, you know, but Jersey had some things to make up for it, you know. And, you know, it was the Communications Act of 1934 that you could listen to whatever you wanted to. You know, basically the FCC when it comes to transmitting is horrible. They're the regime. When it came to receiving, the Communications Act of 1934 was a mixed blessing because it gave you total carte blanche to receive whatever you wanted, whoever, wherever. You know, there was absolute. They cut the line in 1934. They said you can receive anything you want, any way you want it.
All these new laws
are against the federal law of the land. All right, let me get you off before I get too boring. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. 212-279-3407 to be on the air. Now 212-279-3400 is our telephone number. The more important number right now because we only have 3 minutes left. We'd like to see a flurry of phone calls come in, so please call us now. 212-279-3400 if you've been waiting for the last minute, waiting to see if we're going to offer something really, really amazing. Well, we're not. We're just offering what we've already offered. So you can pledge any amount you want. We take Visa. We take MasterCard. If you pledge $75, you will get a 2600 subscription for a year and a soon-to-be-out-of-print T-shirt. And also, if you pledge $100, you will get that same 2600 subscription, but you will also get Masters of Deception, the hardcover book, which came out earlier this year, talking about some of America's most dangerous hackers. Isn't that right, Fiber?
Oh, yeah, real dangerous.
Okay. In fact, you better get this book, or...
Well, we'll show you what some of that danger
really
is.
Yeah, we will. I'm getting a message. Do not threaten the listeners. Okay, we won't do that anymore. Good evening, you're on the radio.
Well, here we are again.
Wow.
Back home.
You're back home? Here in New York?
In New York City, in Queens.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, you're in Queens, though. Okay.
I just wanted to say that when you make a call, like instead of putting a quarter in a payphone to make a call to someone, you could just use the automated operator. What you do is you make arrangements with someone, you'll call them collect, and then when the automated operator says, at the tone, say your name, you just say the phone number of the payphone, and then they'll hang up and call you back at the payphone.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah, we've known about that for years since that came out.
And not only that, people have been doing things like that, you know, and collect calls, passing messages along very quickly. It's kind of old. Let me ask you a question. Right? You might actually have the wherewithal to try this one out.
Okay.
All right, let's say that you make a collect call to a payphone from another, not a collect call, a regular phone call to a payphone from another payphone, okay? So it asks you to put in, say, 60 cents or whatever. You put in the 60 cents, you call the other payphone, the person picks up, all right? At some point in time, the computer's going to come on and say, please deposit 25 more cents or whatever for the next however many minutes. Now, supposing you go to the other payphone, that is the payphone that has been called, and you simply put a quarter in that payphone, and it generates the red box tones. Will those red box tones be picked up by the first payphone, and will it think that you have, in fact, put in a quarter in that payphone?
I don't think that will work. I tried that.
Could you run out and try that for us?
I will try that one time. And,
because if you are able...
What I'd like to say is that when my phone was disconnected upstate at school,
mm-hmm.
they had this left-in dial tone, but it was to another phone number. It wasn't...
Oh, sounds like they just pulled your plug completely and just connected you to something else. But you realize if you are able to succeed with that payphone to payphone thing, you will be, in effect, redboxing without a redbox. In fact, you'll be using the phone company to do it, which I think would be amazing. I don't think it would work, to be honest.
Three-way calling when your phone's disconnected for some reason.
I'm sorry?
They give you three-way calling.
It's funny, we're talking about two totally different things at the same time, aren't we?
Okay, well, I just want to say that they give you three-way calling when your phone's disconnected.
All right, well, that's old too, isn't it?
I don't even think that works anymore.
Well,
and if
don't
it
forget,
does,
he was up in the North Pole or something.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was in 9X.
Well, yeah, so. 9X goes to some pretty remote areas.
Well, I just want to mention the new phones at Chemical Bank that they do not let you make free phone calls anymore because they...
Because of you, that's why. Because you mention it every week for a year on this radio program.
I want to describe them. You pick it up, and it mutes the mouthpiece, and it dials the number automatically, and then it gives you back the mouthpiece. It mutes also the touch stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The touch tones it mutes and the mouthpiece until it dials.
How about that?
But you can unplug the phone and plug it back in after it dials. And you can
well... Mr. Rebel, you have the last word tonight. Since we're out of time, I want you to personally ask people to call in this last minute we have and pledge to this radio station.
Okay. Everybody, if you like the information that I give out on this program...
No, we want people to call.
Oh,
please.
We want people to call...
Yes.
2-2-7-9-3-4-0-0 at this last minute and pledge anything you can. I'm going to pledge, actually. I pledge myself to let everyone know. And,
so we can count on seeing the phone ring at least once when we disconnect with you.
Okay.
Good. Well, I'll look forward to that.
Okay.
In fact, maybe I'll run into the other room just so I can get your call.
Let's
yes.
see. I guess that's it.
Okay. Well, so far, I guess people are still dialing. But remember, dial fast or they'll time out on you. 212-279-3400. Thanks for calling. Thanks for the information. And... thanks, everybody, for being a part of this. We did break the 2,000 mark by quite a bit, I'd say, so I'm pretty happy with that. Thanks, everybody, for calling. And if you still want some of the special deals we're offering, please give us a call. Every little bit counts. We'll be back again next week with our regular show, which is an hour in length from 10 to 11 p.m. Robert Knight, is Robert Knight up next? Or, well, we think he's up next. Someone's... Okay, something's coming. Something.
Computer music.
All right. Okay. Well, enough computer talk. Let's have some computer music. We'll be back again next week. This is Emmanuel Goldstein from Fiber Optic and everybody else. Have a good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving. Now I can't make a call. But if they could, they would. For Billy Bond, for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. For Billy Bond.
Mumia Abu-Jamal. I'm a journalist, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and an African-American.
I live in the fastest growing public housing tract in America. In 1981, I was a reporter for WUHY and president of the Philadelphia Association of Black Journalists. Currently, I'm a writer and a public radio commentator. I've been a resident on Pennsylvania's death row for 11 years.
Now the jury brought in a guilty verdict, and the judge sends me to death. Midnight in prison storeroom, leather straps across my chest.
The death penalty is available.
A celebration of life against the death penalty. Sunday, May 21st, from 3 to 5 p.m. in the Great Hall at Cooper Union. For ticket information, please call WBAI at 212-279-0707, extension 127. A celebration of life against the death penalty.
And we will seek it.
From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.